Together at these fruits of the Spirit, which are even on our banners. And today I'd like to look with you at faithfulness. Are you faithful? Would you say that you're a faithful person? Would others say that you're faithful, that they can count on you? Can God count on you? Let's talk about that today and see what God would teach us about faithfulness through His Word, the Scriptures, for our encouragement and strength in the faith. What can we say of faithfulness? Well, first of all, if you look at it, what is it? The fruit of the Spirit, like these grapes growing on the vine. It's something that God is putting into you. You might not be perfect yet, but it's put into you as a Christian, and the Spirit is growing it up in you more and more, like fruit, stronger and stronger. But what is faithfulness? How could we define that? Well, if you're faithful, it means that people can count on you. They can put complete confidence in you. You're trustworthy. You're reliable. You're faithful. Someone that can be counted on. If you think about it, we have even things in the world we call faithful, right? Things like engines. Do you have a faithful engine in your car? A reliable engine? A trustworthy engine? If you have a faithful engine, how does that make you feel? I'm happy. I'm confident. I can go out in that snowstorm. I can go out in the rain. I know that if I go a long distance, if I turn the key, it'll start. And I'm getting where I'm going to go. It'll be faithful to sustain me there and carry me. Now, what about an unfaithful engine? Is that a good thing? Let's say all of us, after the service today, go over to the airport and we get on a flight to Boston. And we're taxiing over to our takeoff runway. And the captain comes on. I don't know why they're always like Southern, but it's like, well, howdy there, folks. We're going to have a nice trip up there to Boston today. I just want you to know that our engine is totally unreliable. Untrustworthy. You know, when we get up to 40,000 feet, it's very likely to kick out on us. Have a nice flight. What would you do with an unfaithful engine like that? I'm out of there. I'm not staying under this airplane, because an unfaithful engine makes you nervous. It ends in ruin and disaster. And so also with people, because God's not after a faithful or an unreliable engine. He's after a faithful human being. Faithful in what? Relationships. Relationships with Himself and our relationship with each other. And so, really, who are we called to be faithful to? You know, I love the Navy, right, Dick? Everything sea. Well, Lord Admiral Nelson of the British Navy, fighting Napoleon's French fleet off of Trafalgar in 1805, said before the battle, he just raised his signal flags and gave one signal to the entire fleet. I'll do it in British. England expects that every man should do his duty. That's all he said. That was all that was necessary. They did it and they won. Well, what were they supposed to be faithful to do their duty? To king and country. So who should we be faithful to, Vivian, do you think? To king and country. It's just a heavenly king and a heavenly country. If you think about it, that was the great test that Satan gave to Jesus when they were out there in the wilderness, right? If you look over there at Matthew 4, Satan tempted Jesus to unfaithfulness, to disloyalty to the king, to God. He says, you know, I have all these kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. All these I'll give you, says Satan, if you'll fall down and worship me. If you'll just be a turncoat and a traitor to God, I'll give you everything I have. Well, Jesus answered, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." So God expects every man to do his duty. Jesus certainly was loyal to God, and we are to do the same. Remember, that was in the Old Testament, Joshua said to Israel, "Choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of those that were beyond the river that your fathers worshipped, or the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. To do our duty, to love God as King alone. So we're to love God, we're to love and be loyal to Jesus, because he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, let's see, Art. Is Jesus a present or an absent king?
Both.
Both, right? He's always with us, for sure, but he's also absent. He's a nobleman who goes away into a far country, as the parable says. He's up there. He's not down here right now. So he's sort of like an absent king. We then are in the position of, my favorite, Robin Hood, where he had an absent king, Richard the Lionheart, far away on a crusade, and an evil prince, John, had usurped the throne and was ruling in violence. And what was it for Robin? He had to be defiant to the king of this world, that's the devil in our case, and to be loyal to the true king, who is away for a time but is returning, Richard the Lionheart. And so also we're to be loyal to Jesus, and that means to defy the prince of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work everywhere in the sons of disobedience. Are you willing to do your duty to your king and to be faithful to him against all odds? That's what God is calling us to. Thirdly, that is to his country, to his word of truth. If you continue in my word, you're truly my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And Jesus says, if you acknowledge me before men, I'll also acknowledge you before the angels of God. But if you deny me before men, you'll be denied before the angels of God. Be loyal to your king and to his word. And then also it's to king and country, which means to his people, especially, we're to be loyal to each other, to our heavenly kingdom, as brothers and sisters to each other. And you know, God also wants us to show out our faithfulness in our relationships with everybody in the world, right? Husbands, be faithful to your wives. Wives, to your husbands. Parents, be faithful to your children. And children, be faithful to your parents. Brothers and sisters, be faithful to each other. And even to bosses that don't know the Lord, show yourself trustworthy. Show yourself dependable and reliable so that by your obedience, they may see that you have faith in the one true king. Can you think of a guy in the Bible that did that? There's Joseph. Remember, he was faithful to Potiphar. In his house, the guy was a demon worshiper, if you will, false gods, and yet he showed himself faithful in all things, and Potiphar delighted in him until there was a false charge brought up, and then Joseph eventually shot up to the top of Egypt. But we're to be faithful, to be trustworthy, reliable, dependable, someone you can count on, and God is growing this. You're not perfect yet, but we're getting there, and that's what it is to be a Christian. The Spirit is working this inside of us. Now, why does God want us to be faithful to king and country? Give me a couple things. Throw something out. Okay, I'll help you. Number one, it's the right thing to do. That's what God's kingdom is all about, faithfulness. Number two, there's a reward for it. David, it says in the Old Testament, said that God rewards every man for his righteousness and for his faithfulness. So there's something great awaiting you. Paul says, at the end of his life, having been faithful, I fought the good fight, finished the race, kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown, which the Lord will award to me on the last day when he comes, when Richard the Lionheart returns. So it's right, it's good, there's a reward for it. This is who God is. God is loyal. The rock, his work is perfect, and all his ways are justice. A God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and right is he. Thy steadfast love is great, O Lord, and thy faithfulness is to the clouds. So God is faithful, and he's trying to make you like himself. Be like myself, I'm loyal to you. You be loyal to me. And what does that lead to? This is the big thing. Fantastic, super, amazing, rock solid relationships with your king and with each other. If you're faithful, you have a super, super relationship. Think of a husband and wife who are faithful to each other and love each other. If one goes away on a business trip for a long time, does the other worry? No, because they know their spouse is faithful. And it makes a beautiful relationship. It makes a super relationship with us and God because we can count on him. He's reliable. He's trustworthy. He always keeps his word. And he wants to look at us and be able to count on us. Like Paul says, he entrusted to us the gospel to carry it to other people. God deemed Paul someone he could count on. And he wants to develop that in you. One he can count on. It makes super relationships. So, what happens if you don't have faithfulness? If you're faithless in that case? Untrustworthy. Unreliable. Never know which way this person's going to go. Can't count on them. What happens to a relationship in that case? Tell me. Breaks down. Something else.
Dies.
It's destroyed. I knew a man years ago, an LCMS, Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod pastor, good-looking guy. He was a good-looking wife. His church was growing super abundantly. The guy was athletic. Everything was on the increase. He had great children. His car, he drove a sports car. I mean, the guy was like the James Bond of LCMS pastors. Unfortunately, he was the James Bond of LCMS pastors because he was unfaithful to his wife, as James Bond was in all things with other girls. And he had an affair. He was faithless. He didn't guard his faithfulness, and it was probably fun for a while. He thought he was getting away with it. It seemed like everything was good and keen, but it came out, as all these things will always come out. And what happened? He lost his wife. He lost his children. He lost his church. He probably lost his sports car. He is no longer able to be a preacher in our church body. He lost all of that, and he lost his reputation. Oh, it just destroys everything, and it destroyed everybody around him because it was like taking a stone and hurling it into a pond, which he may be the stone, but the pond had all kinds of ripples, and so many people's relationships were hurt by faithlessness. Do you see why God wants to put this into us? What he wants for you is a happy home, a loving life, a joyful experience, and that all comes from a rock-solid grounding in faithfulness will guard everything good. Why do we need to be careful to keep faithfulness then and be diligent to grow in it? Because guess what, friends? Newsflash, our whole world that we're living in is faithless, basically. You looked at sports this last week. Did you see that Cleveland Browns defensive end? He rips the helmet off of the quarterback for the Steelers and starts bashing him over the head with it. Faithless. If you look at politics, right? Religion and politics, I speak on both. I got to, right? Maybe you don't, but I do. But look at politics. The news no longer reports the truth. It's just propaganda machines to try to, hallucinate or lead us, brainwash the masses. They're not giving us the truth. It's often called fake news. That's faithless. If you look at businesses, a lot of them in the world are faithless. They're cheating. They're stealing. They're cutting corners, finding little ways to cheat out and make more money. Hollywood stars, they seem so great, so marvelous. Oh, we want to be like them. But they're found later to be faithless and full of crimes and wrong things. And you know what? In families, this is where God really wants faithfulness, especially because Do you know that 50% of marriages in America end in divorce? There's something faithless that's gone on. And parents with children. Do you know that 24% of children in America don't have a father in the house? Because for some reason, the men have been faithless. And in African-American families, that's 40% don't have a dad in the home, which leads to a 279% increase in crime, drugs, and possession, more likely to have a gun in their hands. David said this thousands of years ago in Psalm 12, "Help, Lord, help, for there's no longer any that is godly, for the faithless have vanished from among the sons of men." We need to be very careful and diligent to be loyal, because we're living in a disloyal world that doesn't trust in God and is not faithful to each other. But God says there's something different for you. You're my children, princes of the world to come. Be faithful as I am faithful. And there's a devil out there who's trying to get us to be faithless and disloyal, to be a turncoat and a traitor. Just like he tried with Jesus, he'll try with you and me. And there's a traitor inside each one of us. It's our old sinful nature. There is sinful passions that are constantly tugging and leading us to disloyalty to king and country. And we got to fight that traitor back. You can't get rid of him, but you got to fight him down. And guess what? It is possible to depart and become faithless. Demas departed. Hymenaeus and Alexander in the Bible departed. And you know Judas and his story. He was a turncoat and a traitor. And disaster is the result. You know, look at this. I actually highlighted this part in my Bible. In my manuscript. Let me read it to you. Proverbs 20 says, "Many a man proclaims his loyalty, but a faithful man who can find?" Says God. But you know what? God's looking for it. He's looking for faithful men and faithful women, loyal to king and country. You're going to be Robin Hood today, defiant to the prince of this world, and stand loyal to your king above, even at the risk of your own neck? Because, you know, we're saved by faith apart from works. Amen? Yeah, that's what the Bible says. But we're saved by faith alone, but not a faith that is alone. The other side of that coin is faith goes with faithfulness. Faithfulness. So that's what faithfulness is. Faith being full of it. Full of faith, which is loyalty. And God's looking for loyalty to him. And when he comes, who's loyal to him and who is not? Let's take a look over here. This is Luke 12. You ready for this one? Jesus says in verse 42. He says, "Who then is the faithful and the wise steward whom his master will set over his household to give them their food at the proper time?" In other words, when the king, Jesus, comes, he says, "Who will I give the whole new world to and everything I own?" Here he says this, "Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing." When Jesus the Lionheart returns, he wants to find you a good Robin Hood, serving him loyally. And if you are, he says, "I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions, a great rich reward for him." But if that servant says to himself, "My master's delayed in coming," and begins to beat the men servants and the maid servants and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he doesn't expect him and at an hour he doesn't know, and will punish him and put him with the unfaithful. So who are you going to go with, friends? Prince John of this world or King Jesus of the world to come? I'm going with Richard the Lionheart, Jesus. And I know you are too, O merry men. That's what God calls us to. "For the Lord loves the just," says the Bible. "He will not forsake his faithful ones." And therefore we need staying power if we are to inherit the blessings. Loyalty to the king, and loyalty to Jesus, and loyalty to each other. So how can we grow in these things, do you think? Well, let's take a look at number one, which would be by the word. The Bible says faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes by the preaching or the word of Christ. So how are you going to grow in faithfulness? You need faith. They go together. And how do you get faith? By hearing the word preached and by reading the word here written, like we said in the Bible study this morning. So that's number one. You got to be in the word. So let's be diligent to be in the word, that we remain loyal. Secondly, by prayer. Jesus says, be alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all the things that are going to come on the world in the last days and to stand before the Son of Man. When Richard the Lionheart returns, will you be found standing, loyal? Jesus says, pray. You need strength for this. Great strength. Be diligent to keep alert and be in prayer to me, and I'll strengthen you for it. Thirdly, by keeping company with the faithful. The Bible says bad company ruins good morals. If you want to destroy your morals, go hang out with jerks. But if you hang out with those who are for God and for the truth, it's going to increase your faithfulness. And then fourthly, by just keeping steadfast in the trials and troubles you got. Because God's sending trials upon you for a couple reasons. To test you and to see whether you're going to be faithful when he turns up the heat, lets the devil attack a bit. Are you going to stay loyal to me? Are you going to keep true? Well, you're going to pass the test because God's faithful. He won't let you be tempted beyond your strength. He'll give you the way of escape, but you got to be faithful in the test. So your tests and troubles prove your faithfulness, show it out, and they also increase your faithfulness. Because you know what? When I face a temptation and a trouble, and I eventually get through it somehow, by the skin of my neck sometimes, but I get through it, guess what? Next time that same trouble comes, I'm like, been there, done that, that one's easy. And God says, okay, try this one on. But you see, the faith grows when you face trouble. It increases and grows. It's the fruit of the Spirit. He's making you better in these things as he sends stuff your way and you show yourself strong and you get greater strength as you go. But where's God ultimately bringing each and every one of us? To what kind of faithfulness? Here's the answer. Get ready. Are you ready in your seats? Get on the edge of your seats. Ready? Here we go. Faithful even unto death. That's the best kind of loyalty. That's the best kind of friendship. One that will even die for it, God says, no better relationship can I have than that one. That's the kind of friendship I'm after. If you think of it, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were there in the Old Testament days, and the king in those days, very bad man, made an image, a golden image, 90 feet high. He says, everybody in my whole kingdom, whenever you hear the sound of the lute or the bagpipe or any music, you're to bow down and worship this golden image that I've set up. If anybody doesn't do it, into the fire with you. Nice guy, huh? Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we're not doing it, they said. The king says, come on here. Didn't I tell you to bow down? Or you go into the fire? And they said, we have no need to answer you in this matter, O king. If it be so, our God is able to deliver us from your hands in this matter. But even if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you've set up. And he said, into the fire with you then. Well, what do you think God was thinking up there in heaven? Would you look at this, Jesus? All the angels gather around. Could there be any greater friends than I have than these three men? Loyal to me unto death? Jesus, go be with them in the fire. And the king looks and he says, did we not cast three men into the fire? How is it that I see four men loose in the fire? And the fourth appears to be like a son of the gods. Come out! And they came out and their hair was unsinged. God was with them in the fire. No greater friends can I have than these who were faithful to me even unto death. A few years later, Daniel had the same test. And the king said, no one shall pray to any other God than me for the next 30 days. And we read in the Bible that when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. And he got down upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he'd done previously. In other words, I don't care. I'm going to be defiant to you in this matter, O king, for I have a king above to whom I am loyal. All right, Daniel, I'm sorry, said the king, but into the lion's den you must go. Well, what did God do? Leave him in the lurch? Leave him hanging? Can you go out on a limb for God and he say, well, I guess you're on your own. Can't help you. He said, do you see this? Look down upon this Daniel. Can I have a greater friend than he? I shall be with him in that den and shut the lion's mouths. And the next day, Daniel came out. Are you in there, Daniel? Yes, I am. And God sent an angel to shut the lion's mouths because I was faithful unto him. And certainly there's no crime in me. And out he came, faithful. God is looking for a faithfulness for you and me, friends, that is unto death, a loyalty that's willing to die for your king. Are you willing to do so? God's working it in us. And he says, no greater friend can I have than this? Because if you're going to be faithful to me unto death, that is a rock solid relationship that's going to make us happy, joyful, delighted, where I can count on you. And better, you can count on me because I'm faithful to you unto death. Do you know that? That God is faithful to you unto death. The best way to go, your faithfulness today, friends, if you want the best one way to do it, is look upon God's faithfulness. He always keeps his word. We read that in the Old Testament, even when we were sinners and enemies, even Jacob, who was a liar, he was deceptive, he was a supplanter, but God chose to delight in him and bring him out and be faithful. And he said, Jacob said, I'm not worthy, God, of the least of all this steadfast love and all the faithfulness which you've shown to your servant. For with only my staff I crossed this Jordan, and now I've become two companies. Is God faithful to you? Even when you were a sinner, even when you're his enemy, even then, perfect, perfect in faithfulness. He is faithful in sending to us his son, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings from heaven, and he died for us. The Bible says, why one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man one will dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let me change that a little bit and say Christ died for you. You have a friendship, friends, with a God who is so much your friend, he says, I will die for you. That's the kind of rock solid, unbreakable relationship you can count on with him. And now that he saved you, he makes you loyal. He gives you a new spirit and a new heart to be so. And he remains loyal. He says, I will never fail you, nor forsake you. He protects us, guards, shields, encourages, helps us, feeds us. And guess what? When we do wrong, if we confess our sins, what's the word? You know it. He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a God you have. It says in the Bible, not one of all God's promises, which he made to the house of Israel, had failed. All came to pass. And every one of his words to you will also be kept and be found accomplished at his coming. Even to your old age, I'm he, and to gray hairs, I will carry you. I've made you, and I will bear you. I will carry you, and I will save you. Do you believe that? He cannot lie. And Paul says in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We're serving a king who's absent, defiant against the prince of this time and this present evil darkness, but we're loyal to the one who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And those with him are called and chosen and faithful. And we're looking forward, this is the last thing I'll say, to that day when the king, the true Richard the Lionheart, Jesus comes, and he'll look upon you, and he'll say, well done. Well done, my good friends. Better friends I could never have than these. Well done, good and faithful servants. You've been faithful over these little things. behold, I set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. In Jesus' name.